to my podcast, Stelly Elevates Your National Parks. This is a podcast about the different national parks and monuments. Each episode, I will feature a National Park Service site and tell you some background information and share insights, tips, and suggestions. I will also interview someone different every episode and hear about their experience in the featured park. Let's elevate your knowledge about this episode's site, Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. Is located in Hawaii. There are 323,000 acres in the park, but that number changes as volcanic eruptions happen. In fact, the latest eruption is one that you probably heard a lot about. Kilauea is Hawaii's most active volcano, and parts of it have been continuously erupting since January 3rd of 1983. On May 10th of this year, the park closed because of ash, earthquakes, and road damage from Kilauea volcano. Kilauea volcano is one of the most active in the world. The volcano has slowed its eruptions, and most of the park has reopened now, but that was the longest it has ever been closed. It continues to produce lava and resurface the land. The other active volcano is Mauna Loa. It is the most massive in the world. The summit of Mauna Loa has an elevation of 13,677 feet, the highest point in the park. The lowest point is sea level. I think that's really cool. Although Hawaii Volcanoes National Park was established less than 100 years ago, the people have been living in the area for hundreds to thousands of years. In 1790, the natives offered gifts to their goddess Pele. While they were at the top of a volcano, there was a huge eruption. The native tried to run away, but most didn't make it. Their footprints are still visible in molten lava. The park was established August 1st, 1916, by Woodrow Wilson. This was a long time before Hawaii was even a state. The islands were a territory of the United States. It was the 11th national park and the first in Hawaii. In 2004, the National Park Service bought 115,788 acres of land from a landowner named Samuel Mills Damon. They paid $21.9 million, and the park was made 56% larger. Of course, I've never been there, but my Auntie Michelle used to live in Hawaii. How cool is that? Let's talk to her now about her visits to Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. Hi, Auntie Michelle. Welcome to Ellie Elevates Your National Parks. Would you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Oh, hi, Ellie. I'm so excited to be here. I'm Michelle, and I'm a neighbor of yours. I have two little boys and a husband. I'm a teacher, but also really a pretty cool fact about me is that I used to live in Hawaii. So in 2010, I lived there for about a year and a half. So just a really cool time in my life that we got to explore all over Hawaii together, my husband and I.
How would you describe Hawaii Volcanoes National Park?
Well, it was nothing that I had ever seen ever in my life before. Todd and I described it as a whole nother planet. Everything we saw there was something that we couldn't even imagine that it would look like that. It was the contrast of the black lava with all the plants was really cool. And even when you see it in pictures, it just didn't do its justice at the actual national park.
What did you do when you visited Hawaii Volcanoes National Park?
Well, it's very similar to how I usually travel. Todd and I did not have much of a plan. So we showed up. And we were really just planning on going to the lava flow and watching that and then heading out. But there was a forest fire that day or that time, so the road was closed. So we thought we were really bummed. We're like, well, what are we, nothing to do now. What are we going to do? But we were totally wrong. And the visitor center, we went first, and they gave us all these cool maps and different things to do. And so we definitely filled our time while we were there. We went to the best thing that we did was about a 5 mile hike into 2 mile wide lava flow. So we like hiked down into it, and it was like 600 to 700 feet cliffs on each side, and it was 2 miles like through just black lava, and it was all dried up. It was from like the 50s, the last time that the lava had or the volcano had erupted. So that was really cool. It was very hot walking across this lava field. It was crazy, but there were hills and lava tubes and all kinds of really neat things that the lava had formed when it was drying. So that was something really cool that we did.
What was your favorite thing that you saw there?
I think the lava field was my favorite, but something else that was really cool that we saw was we went to these, they were called the sulfur banks. And what happens is, like, you know, little holes and pockets will form in the ground, and the steam and, like, the air from inside the volcano comes out, and it creates sulfur when it meets the air. So there was, like, this neon green sulfur all over the rocks, and it was like a powder everywhere, and it smelled just like sulfur. That's what it was. All in the air. It was, like, really stinky and super bright green, which was really cool. It was just something you never would even imagine to see. It was really neat to see that.
Did you see any stupid people?
We did. I did see some stupid people. I think the most stupid may have been us, though. Going in with no plan at all was kind of dumb because there was so much to do there. We would have missed so much of the things that we had seen if we had just driven to the lava flow and left. But what was really stupid about us was that we stayed very late. We started that lava field hike kind of late in the afternoon, and it was dark when we finished it. And this was in 2011, so GPS and all that wasn't as great as it is now, and we couldn't really get out of the park. And we were just driving and driving, hoping we were going the right direction for... It was a long, long ride back to our hotel that night. I think it was us. We should have definitely started a lot earlier and been a little bit more prepared in our visit.
If you were to visit there again, what would you do? And if you weren't to visit there again, what would you do?
If we were to go back, the one thing that we didn't do that everyone talks about doing is taking a helicopter. Because right now, well, at the time, actually, it wasn't erupting, the volcano. Right now it is actively erupting, but at the time it wasn't. But it was still, lava was still flowing into the ocean. So you could take a helicopter, like a boat tour, and go out like on the side of the volcano and see the lava there, like hot, you know, real flowing lava. So I would definitely do that. Now there's lava flowing all over. It's you know, destroying homes and things. So I'm sure right now it's more limited even what you could do. But that's what I think would be really cool, like a helicopter ride over to see that.
And what wouldn't you do again?
What wouldn't we do? I wouldn't go without a map. I would bring a map and use our GPS and get out of there on time. We ended up really having to drive kind of around the entire island to get back to where we needed to be. It was a long, long ride.
What plants and animals did you see there?
We didn't really see many. It's very hot. It's just black land and the sun is just radiating on it. So where the lava fields are, those are very desolate. But lining all of those are beautiful, like all the plants that you see in Hawaii. Beautiful flowers, plumeria, and things like that. But I do remember, and this could be, we lived on Maui and we had a lot of these there, but I did, there were some in Volcanoes National Park also, but they were the nene, which is like the Hawaiian state bird, and it's just this big goose. And you see them usually up in like higher elevations and stuff. So we did see some of those there, which was cool.
Is there anything else you'd like to share about the park?
Well, I would definitely say go to the visitor center. It was really awesome. They're really knowledgeable there. They had a lot of cool things about the like origin of Hawaii and the first people that came to Hawaii and kind of how Hawaii has come to be how it is now. So that was really cool. And my other advice, which someone gave us this advice, is that while you're driving up to the national park, there's all these people who have signs and their homes and on the side of the road, like, come pay to see a lava tube or come hike to this tube. And it's all like not real lava tubes and things like that. People just trying to make money. And so, or selling like souvenirs that aren't real, you know, all kinds of weird things like a piece of lava or whatever. So definitely take a pass on all of that and just go to the actual national park because it is really amazing there.
Wow. Thank you so much, Auntie Michelle, for teaching me all about Hawaii volcanoes.
Oh, thank you, Ellie.
Since the elevation change from sea level to the summit of the volcano, the types of plants are really unique. In fact, 90% of the thousands of plants found in the park are only grown on the islands. They don't exist anywhere else in the entire world. In all my research, I found the plants and animals to be very interesting. The park has rats, cats, dogs, feral goats, feral pigs, and feral sheep. There are also lots of beautiful birds and crickets. If you are planning on visiting, you should check first to make sure that the volcanoes aren't erupting. If it isn't, you can drive the Crater Rim Drive, which sounds neat. There are 5 hikes that you can do in 1 day that go to the summit of Kilauea. All of them seem pretty easy. If you visit, be prepared to erupt with enjoyment. Be sure to tune in next time when I'll elevate your knowledge about Bryce Canyon National Park. Thank you to my Auntie Michelle for sharing your experiences. I have to say, I'm really glad you moved here. If you're enjoying my podcast, please leave a review or rating on iTunes to help other people find the show. If you have any questions about a national park, please write to me at ellie@untanglingknots.com, and I may answer your question on a future show. Thanks to my producer, Zach, and my script assistant, Molly, and thank you to Poddington Bear for providing my theme music under an attribution, non-commercial, Creative Commons license.